Vacationing or traveling a little bit, different ones, so we just pray for them. Amen. Romans chapter 1, we'll start reading at verse 16. Amen. The title of this today, Embracing Truth. Paul is speaking. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." Right. What if they don't believe? Well, then it's not the power of God unto salvation, right? Right? That believing is pretty important. Right. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by those things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through their lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, disrespectful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And I want to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to read verse 1. We'll read down to verse 12. Amen. Again, Paul speaking. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. Now, Paul's saying that in his day. Okay? Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That's right. See? And that man of sin be revealed the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, is showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity, it's a mystery. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Let's bend our hearts for a moment to our Lord Jesus. Lord, we just come to you this morning to thank you, Lord, for your wonderful blessings upon us. And Lord, we just trust that, Lord, that you're here to break the bread of life to your children today. As we've heard and said so many times, that a man can read the pages in this book, but it takes you, Lord, to seal it away, reveal it into the hearts of your people. So Lord, we're asking that you come this morning. We know you're here, and so we just give ourselves to you. Pray, God, that you find liberty. We will find liberty in your presence. We love you, Lord, and we just ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Be seated. Embracing truth. How many overcomers do we have here today?
Amen.
Lord.
I saw a few hands. You know what? Overcoming is a choice.
Right.
It's a choice. If somebody walks up to you and slaps you in the face, you can make a choice to fly off the handle, or you can make a choice to pull down out of your experience the character and nature of Christ to turn the other cheek. It's a choice. And we know, as I heard it recently, that you've just come out of a trial, you're in a trial, or you're fixing to go into a trial. Right? And that's the truth. Because we are a tried and a tested people. But we choose to overcome. We choose to take the promises of God and to draw from his strength and be overcomers. And that's the way it works. To him that overcometh. To him that overcometh. How many times do you say that? To him that overcometh. There's something for us to overcome. Amen. And so it is a choice. that we make to be overcomers. So I'm an overcomer.
Yeah.
You are too.
Right?
Right? Yeah. You're here in the house of God, here to hear the word of God today. You are an overcomer. You know what? As Harold Beckett from South Africa said, you won the race in your mother's womb. There was a million other trying to get there before you. So you are overcomers. Right? Right now, you're overcomers. So you wouldn't be here today. Amen. And so we know that's true. And before we get started this morning, I just would like to say this weekend being Memorial Day weekend, we want to remember those that have gone on that sacrificed their lives for us, not just our soldiers or our country, whatever, but it really goes all the way back to our precious Savior who first gave his life for us, right? And then that ministry moving into his apostles and all the apostles that gave their lives, except for John, that was the reason why they wasn't able to destroy him, but all through the ages, and then those in our age and in the last 100 years that has given their lives for us to have the freedoms to be able to speak today freely to you, and not just to us, but for people around the world. Yeah. Just want to remember those things today, and I know that we do. Amen. Embracing truth. You know, the scripture says in St. John chapter 8, verse 32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Right.
Now, it didn't say, I've said this many times, it didn't say it will set you free, because somebody can set you free, and you can turn around and be put right back into prison again, bondage again. But when he makes you free, right, then you can be like Paul and Silas. You can be in a prison cell, and you can be free.
Right.
Because you're free in the Lord.
Amen?
Right. Amen. And so no matter what goes on in this world, when you have him, you're free.
Right?
But he is the truth. He is word, and he is the truth. And so we want to embrace truth. We want to talk about that this morning. And so truth is that the natural state of man without God, when man is without God, his natural state is to go right on in, over in, and just go straight to uncleanness and unrighteous living, just like a Martin to his box, I guess we would say. That's the natural state of man without God.
Yeah.
And we know that the Lord provided a solution, as we read here in the scriptures in Romans chapter 1, that God would reveal himself to man, not just to man, but even through man, and even through nature. God made it in such a way that the scripture said even his eternal power and Godhead is clear, because you can look right out here in nature and you can see that and understand that.
Right.
I like to say it this way: when you walk out into the woods or whatever to see the deer, there's only one buck deer that's in control. There's only one, not four or five. Right? You can look at nature and know there can only be one who's truly in authority. Right? So his eternal power and Godhead can be made very clear just simply even by looking out into nature. And the scripture said, so it is without excuse. People, when they reject truth, it's because they have some other reason why they want to reject it. But God lays his truth out there so that it can be seen, and God is revealing himself in that truth. Amen?
Right.
He reveals himself in that truth to his people. And so he would reveal himself to them and through them. And of course, if man would just follow after him, they could be saved. But in order for that to happen, that means they have to accept God. They have to accept the nature of God. He's a holy God.
Right.
Now you think, here we are as human beings and we're just corruptible or whatever. That's a different nature than God. And God would reveal himself to us, and it would automatically be the fact that he would be who he is. It would automatically show us that we are lacking, and we need to be like him. We need to accept him. We need to allow him to speak and move into our lives. So it automatically means that we would have to accept his nature and let that nature, let him come down into our lives and live that nature through us. And so, but the scripture said there, we read that God gave them over to uncleanness through the lust of their own flesh. Their own flesh. And so we'd have to ask ourselves, well, why did he do that? Why did God do that? He turned them over. It's not like God made them do it, but he just took his hand off of them. Said, okay, if you won't accept truth, right? I'm revealing myself to you. I'm speaking to you. You're not going to be without excuse. You're going to know on that day. I'm revealing. And since you don't want it, the end result is, when you reject truth, is you go off into what you are yourself. Right? Amen. And so we can see that. And so the scripture tells us, so why did he do that? Well, it says because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God and made him into something like creatures. And so he tells us right there why he did that. Why, when he just, because when you, as like the prophet said so many times, that when you spurn mercy, there's only one thing left, right? And when you reject truth, what's left? Right? You shall know truth, and the truth shall make you free. And God is, what kind of God would he be if he would hold us accountable, but had never put in front of us truth? Right. Right? So he places it in front of us, but we've got to accept that. And no matter how much a rebuke it is to our lives, whether we're just now coming to the Lord or we've been serving him for 50 years, if in his presence we know we're undone, accept him. Because he's right. The answer. He'll fix it.
Right. Right.
But you see, here he's given an example there that they did not. They didn't, when they knew him as God, they didn't glorify him. He was in his high and lofty position as the only creator and the only righteous true God that there is. And they couldn't accept that, so they begin to reduce him down into something less than what he is. Uh-huh. Right? Begin to tie his hands and make him out to be not like God. Limit him. Having a powerless religion believing such things like that. And so the scripture said there that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And we know that. But look what it said. Those who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Right? When they know better. They know he's God. And but yet they don't live a life that declares him in his high, lofty position that he is. They live a life that, in other words, instead of expressing him to the world and not watering him down and making him something less, but to express to the world the truth about what he is, because the only truth will set you free. Yeah. You can't water it down.
Right?
And so men who hold that truth in unrighteousness, they hide it. That's the way I look at it. They know better, but they won't live it. They won't show it. They won't tell it. They reduce him down to be something less than what God really is. And for that reason, he let him go over into those things that we just read there. It's revealed from heaven like that. And so they did not want a righteous God to rule over them and to work through them. And so they had to change God, because we're religious people. We are made to serve and worship God. All peoples everywhere is looking for, right? And so they didn't want him in his righteousness to have to accept that into their lives. So they began to water him down and make him into something else. As the scripture said there, that they began to take and change the incorruptible God and begin to make him liken to corruptible man and beast, four-footed beast, and creatures, and flying things, and creeping things. Amen. So, they begin to change him into something less. What they begin to do, the scripture said what they begin to do there, is that they begin to worship the creature more than the creator. Amen. You know, it's okay. It is okay to admire God's creation. It's okay to go out and see a beautiful sunset and go to the lake and all. There's nothing wrong with that. And we love that. There's a deep calling to the deep out of all that. But as long as we keep him in his position of what he is, as long as we always recognize that he's the creator, right. He's the source of life. You got religions out there that You know, that they worship the sun because they know they have to have the sun in order to live. So he became the god that they served. They thought, you know, and how Nineveh was worshiped the fish god because that was their survival through the fish. So instead of recognize God in the position, they begin to recognize, try to make it, well, he's the sun, or he's the moon, or he's the stars, or he's this, he's that. And they're reducing him down and beginning to worship the creature rather than the creator.
Yeah, right.
That's what they did.
Right.
And there's consequences. There's consequences of not accepting truth for what it is and reducing truth down into something else. Changing truth into a lie. That's what they were doing, right? Changing truth into a lie, there's consequences to that. And so when man began to do that, basically what they did is they stepped on a real slippery slope. And when you step onto a slippery slope, you don't have control of how fast you're going to fall, where you're going to go, how far it's going to take you, how hard it's going to hurt. You don't. See, without God, you don't know where you're going to wind up.
Yep, right.
That's right. You do not know where you're going to wind up. If you reject truth, the only thing that can hold you, then you're out of control, and you don't know where you'll wind up. You might wind up, and I've seen it. I've seen people, some that worship in the message as the truth, and they go off, and there's no telling what they'll wind up believing. I've seen it.
Right.
I've seen it in my own family, my own brother. They used to just to rejoice about the things that God were doing in this day, and it's terrible. Because once you leave truth, you don't know where you'll wind up. Remember, broad is the way that leads to destruction.
Yep.
There's a narrow way that leads to life, and few there be that go therein. Right? But there's a broad way that can be anything. If it's not the narrow way, it's the other way.
Yeah. Right.
And so there's consequences to that. And so if it was that way back then, it's that way today. So, God just let them go, and they went right to their own thing. And look where they wound up. Look where they wound up when he did. They wound up in a situation where they begin to dishonor their bodies between themselves. You know, we are the temple of God.
Right.
God expects us to honor the temple of God you wouldn't go live in a house that was infested with the rats and bugs and stuff, right? You wouldn't do that. That's extreme the way to do it, but we are the temple of God, and the scripture tells us that, Paul, I believe it may not be, but saying, you know, that trust that we should all know how to conduct and how to maintain the temple of God. In other words, maintain the temple of God in such a way that he's willing to dwell here.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
So we have to conduct ourselves in such a way. And I want you to see here that when God's not there, if somebody's not living in there, then all kinds of stuff come in. And so when he has to withdraw himself because we are rejecting truth, then all kinds of things come in of this way and that way and filth and it quickly becomes a place that cannot be inhabited by the Holy Spirit, right? And so that temple becomes defiled. That temple, that body that should be there as a representation of God, begins to corrupt itself and defile itself with one another and so forth. And so you know what the scripture said there, as we read that there, they dishonor themselves. But God wants us to honor the temple of God in such a way that he can be pleased to dwell here, to dwell in us. You know, we are a temple of God, and, you know, the house of God, and the scripture said judgment begins at the house of God. We know that. And so they changed the truth of God into a lie. They changed the truth into a lie. The truth that brings the very nature and presence of God near to us and into us. They changed it.
Right.
Right? And so you can't make God come somewhere if he don't want to be there. But he's certainly willing to come there when the temple is clean and the tabernacle has been cleaned out by his grace. And that's why he did it in the first place, so he'd come and dwell in man. And so the scripture said they They changed the truth of God into a lie, and so he gave them up to vile affections of women with women, men with men, basically Sodom condition, and even to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You know, there are natural ways in life, and when ways of life that God created that work naturally and they're convenient and it just flows smoothly. But underneath this kind of situation, they begin to move and go into a lifestyle that's not convenient, doing things that's contrary to nature, right? This is what happens when you reject God. You wind up defiling the temple and doing all kinds of things, and you don't know where you wind up because you're out of control. That's what happens to the world. I don't mean you. I say that, people. I trust that you each of you are in control of your life by surrendering to the Lord Jesus. That would mean him in control. Amen. And so the scriptures there in verse 29 through 31 begin to name all those things being filled with unrighteousness and fornication and covetousness and all the different things. Nothing there to hold them. Nothing there to hold them in righteous living because they had rejected truth. Amen. And so it would behoove us just to stop doubting God's word and start believing it. Yeah. Right? To start accepting God for what he is, especially what he vindicates to us. Start fighting a good fight of faith and start looking for ways to believe God's word and looking for ways to honor him and looking for ways to bring ourselves. We make a choice. Yeah. We make a choice to live righteously. You know, I know that God provides these things, but we have to choose to accept what he's provided. When I gave my heart to the Lord, he takes the want to of things out of your life, but there's a transition in there, and there's a place when God begins to deal with your heart, and you know that you should start doing things different than you did. And so you start putting feet on that. You start moving and walking what you know is right. And God will meet you in that. And next thing you know, he will totally transform your life to where those things of the world are gone. But at some point there, you have to make a choice at the beginning. I'm going to change my way.
Right.
The word repent means change your mind. You got to make a choice. God has dealt with me, and I've made a decision. I'll tell you, I think I've said this before. God began to deal with my heart, and I made a decision one day. I said, I'll be in church this Sunday. And I've been in there ever since.
Right.
You got to make a choice. Because there's something you have to do to drive a stake in the ground to show God and the devil that you mean business. You drive that stake in the ground. And so you start doing righteous things. You start doing it and you start seeking God. And God will take over.
Yeah, right?
He'll take over. And next thing you know, a lot of those things, he'll change your heart. And you won't have a desire for those things of the world like you did. And so it's time that people would just start believing God. Because when we reject truth, you look where it winds up. This is exactly the description of what happened in Genesis. When everything we just talked about. When they came out of the Garden of Eden, as you'll read about this in the Church Age book, history shows that there was a time when all people on the earth believed in one God.
Yep, right.
That's right. Because that's the only God there was right there in the Garden of Eden. And when they come out of the Garden of Eden and sin began to take over, and they begin to pull away from God, where did they go? What happened? It went to Babylon. Babylon. All kinds of things, all just brought in, right? And so it went to Babylon, and the Babylon kingdom there under Nimrod became filtered out, became all those heathen nations. That's right.
Right.
They pulled away from truth and began to believe in multiple gods, and I looked it up here, did a study here a while back, and virtually just about every one of those nations had sex acts in their worship.
Right.
Think about it. The actual original sin, and somehow, think of the, the deceitfulness of the enemy and the trickery of the enemy to create an alternate religion and weave right into that the very thing that caused the fall in the first place. But it's a religion. Religious wars are the worst because people think they're serving God and they're doing something terrible. Jesus said the time will come when they will put you to death and think they're doing God's service. That has the name Catholic Church written all over it.
Yeah.
Right? And how did they get to that place? They got to that place because they left the Word and Satan jumped onto them. They became a vehicle. He's like, let me drive you where I want to go. But you realize if you don't have truth that will hold you in righteousness, you become unrighteous and you become this and you become that. You believe this, believe that, and religious in all of it.
Right.
But yet, wrong. That's what happened. And so Romans chapter 1 is describing, he said, this is what happened to them. This is Paul in his day saying, prior to him, this is what happened when they knew God. They glorified him. Now they begin to water him down and those Nimrod and all those people begin to make themselves gods and deities and all that stuff and begin to, and so you see where it goes. And so it became Babylon. And Babylon went out into all those nations. If you look here and you see, I'll ask you how those nations lived. Just like I said, they went into ungodly living, human sacrifice, child sacrifice, all kinds of things in their religion. Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll pull that up, verses 3 through 6. This is what Paul's saying. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you. Talking about Christians, right? Don't let that kind of stuff be named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks.
Right.
For this you know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Right?
Right.
So, Satan wants to water it down and make people think there's no consequences. But there's a consequence when we reject truth, when we don't embrace truth. That's the holding power, the strength. Amen. And so when people begin to leave God today, they do the same things. Though they be religious, they become, there's human sacrifice and there's children sacrifice. What I say doesn't mean that you're grabbing your neighbor and throwing him up on an altar and killing him. But when you have opportunities as a Christian to do something in his life to help him, and you don't, right? You chase off it. You lose opportunities, right? Your children sacrifice to the God of this so I can have greater money or something like that, and you sacrifice your children to the world. Yeah, we've heard these things before. We know, but this is what happens. But truth will hold you to keep you from those things. That's right. Broad is the way that leads to Babylon. And remember, Babylon is more than just religious power, is political power, it is demonic power. Amen. So without God, without him as an anchor, there's no telling where we wind up. So we just read that there. That's where he spoke of what happened in the beginning. Paul's speaking back on that. But now we're going to go into 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to look at what it is at the end, because the scripture in 2 Thessalonians, Paul was speaking to them, and he said, apparently somebody had written some letters and pretended to be Paul and told them that the day of the Lord already happened. And so Paul wrote him and said, don't be concerned, don't be shaken or in your mind or anything like that, as though you received letters from me or whatever. Don't worry about it, because the day of the Lord can't come right then. Yeah. He said, first, there has to come a falling away. Now, I want you to catch that. First there has it come a falling away, and then this man of sin be revealed. This one who's coming is after the working of Satan, and he's going to come in there and have all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and in them that perish, he's going to come in and do all kinds of things, and the church won't know it because there was a falling away from truth.
Yeah.
You know, that falling away, if you look at it, is defecting from the truth or denying of the faith. And so Paul is saying, look, the day of the Lord is not going to happen until off down the road, and between now and then, the church has to fall away from some truth. That's going to make roads for Satan to come in with his Antichrist system. He's going to rock along there and create a system that's going to deceive people. And then Christ will come and destroy him with the spirit of his mouth. All right? This is what Paul is saying. So Paul is speaking. Here's what's going to happen at the end after him. This was speaking in Romans. Here's what happened before. Now here's what's going to happen here at the end. And so he speaks on that. And so the scripture said that God would send them strong delusion. And he gives the reason why. Because they received not the love for the truth, who believed not the truth. Therefore he sent them strong delusion that they would believe a lie and be damned. I think I said something similar to this the other day, but in his kingdom, we get there. If an unbeliever was allowed to get there, what would they do in that kingdom? You see, he can't allow an unbeliever to be there. That's why the scripture said the fearful and the unbelieving and then all the different things it named there, they're not going to have a part there. See, because they wouldn't fit. And they would do to that realm what they've done here.
Yeah. Right.
So you see, he can't allow it to go there. He has to change it. And so, though they be religious, and though they might call themselves Christians, they are believing a lie. They have pulled away from truth. They have rejected the nature and character of God. And so there's a consequence to that. God just takes his hand off of them. And the scripture said there in this case that God would send them strong delusion.
Right.
That they would believe a lie. So here at the end time, because they're all caught up in not, as the scripture said, they didn't have a love for truth when they saw it. They didn't have a love for the truth. They received not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Because of that, they cannot receive the things of God. Therefore, they believe a lie, and they're damned by it. You know, the scripture said there, in Luke chapter 10, verse 19 through 21, I don't know if I gave that, did I? Sure I did. Think of this. Jesus speaking there. He said, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And we would say, praise God, I'll be happy I could just go out and have all this power over the devil. Man, we would rejoice, would we not? Of course we would. But look what he says. Notwithstanding, in this, having power over the devils, notwithstanding, rejoice not in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now think about this. Hearing an end time message in a Pentecostal realm, and we want the shout, and we want the casting out devils and all that, and God is saying the most important thing, the thing that should make you rejoice more than anything else, is when it's revealed to you that those seals have been opened and your name's on that book. Right? You see, what is important? Truth is important. And yes, truth can give you power over those demons and over those things like that. But a higher level of truth can reveal that you're coming, that you're part of that kingdom of heaven, that your name is written there. And so he's telling them, don't rejoice in the fact that the devils, but rejoice in this. So he's talking about rejoicing. Rejoice in this, that your name is. And then the scripture said, and in that hour, Jesus rejoiced. But look what he rejoiced over. He said, Father, I thank thee, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and has revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. Wait a minute. Jesus rejoiced that not everybody could see what he was talking about? Is that our Bible? Okay, we gotta make sure our thinking comes around to something different than what most people think. Right? Because Jesus, you have to look at the big picture of God's program. Jesus rejoiced in the fact that God would not give out his truth to those who live unrighteous. He would not give out his truth to those who won't receive truth. Right? And so for some reason, Jesus rejoiced in that. Our Lord and Savior rejoiced in the knowing that God would hold that back from those and would only reveal it to babes. Why would he hide it from wise and prudent? Because what the wise and prudent would do with it would defile it. That's right. And so he can't let them go there. So he's just not even going to give them. As the prophet said, life is a sacred thing to God, and he wrote it in a book. And he's not just going to give it out to anybody, right? He's not, right? And so he knows those that are his. Amen. And so Jesus rejoiced in that, and God, because God had hid it from the wise and prudent. And I will ask you this question. Can God do that today? Would he do it today? Would he hide truth? And the answer is yes. And how can I say that? Remember what the prophet said? That when anybody comes to God on a certain circumstance, he has to respond to them the same way he did anybody else that came on the same circumstance. Right? So if he hid it from a group of people back here because of their being wise and being prudent in their own eyes and had their own agendas or whatever, whatever being wise and prudent, whatever's written underneath that, if the same people today come under the same situation of wisdom and prudence like that, he has to do the same thing today he did there, or he did wrong when he did it there. Right? See what I'm saying? So we have to come to grips with these things to realize there is a revelation God is giving out today, and he's giving it to those that are his, and he will hide it to those that are not.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. So yes, he can do that. But the original scripture, the original writings there in Greek says, it does not say that he would stand strong delusion, they believe a lie. It says the lie. The prophet mentioned this. That he would send them strong. So here at the end, strong delusion is going to come here at the end that they would believe the lie.
Yeah.
Now, the lie means it's not truth. Right? So if it's not truth, then it's a lie about God. It's a lie about his character. It's a lie about how we can walk by faith before him and how we can overcome. It's lies about all his truth. It's a lie, right? And so, the lie. And the prophet said the same lie that the serpent told Eve.
Yeah,
right?
Right.
And so, Satan not coming to you today and saying, go ahead and eat of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But here's what the prophet, said, saying that the lie, the same lie that the serpent told Eve, and that's basically was that you don't have to live by every word of God. That he's everything except, I think the way the prophet said it, he's everything except Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. You understand? So I just want to ask you this, that how many words did it take in Eden to cause the fall? How many words did it take? One word. Three letters.
Right.
You shall not die. Mm-hmm. Right? Think about that.
Yep.
Now Satan did not come to Eve with things that was absolutely abhorrent to her. He did not come that way. The scripture said he was the most subtle of any beast of the field. Now, I'm pretty sure that if you took one of these little boys or Waverly or Griffin like that and you sent them out in a field and a cow come tromping up by them, they would be fearful. Unless they've been around it for a while. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
Cow's not very, he's not very subtle. So, but you understand the form of the serpent there, he was subtle. In other words, he was able to come and he wasn't startling. And he could talk, and the things he was saying was not startling. Yet they were wrong. And I think history somehow, I don't know how, but saying that it took about 7 years of the serpents talking to Eve, you know, to finally get her, let the bar down. And so I believe the prophet talked about that. And so the serpent talked to her, and he wasn't startling. And so the things that he was saying to her was not fearful. It wasn't shaking. It was subtle. So if he came to her in that way, then how would he come to us today? If God has sent truth for us to live by, truth for us to embrace, and in that truth it reveals the whole nature of God and brings that nature into us and lives out in us. And so if Satan would come today, he would be working against that truth. But it wouldn't be startling. It would be subtle. It would be to start out, and maybe take weeks, months, years, whatever it might take to finally get people to let down and pull away from that truth, thinking it was right.
Right.
But it would not be right. And the consequence would reveal it. That's the way Satan does it. He'll get you wrapped up into something until get way down the road, and then he reveals to you what it is. Right? That's the way it is with a lot of these things that people go to and habits and things of the flesh, you know, and makes it think, oh, this is fine and there's no consequence and everything's okay. And then down the road, once they've sown the seed, now they begin to reap, and now they have to deal with what has happened. Because Satan lies to them up front. He's subtle up front. Oh, it's okay. It's all right to defile your body. It won't matter. Nobody will know. God knows. And you know. And that seed that's going to come up later is going to tell. See? And so he comes that way. And bringing lies. But not through being not startling Eve. He didn't startle her. It was subtle. There has to be a reason why that the scripture said that. Subtle. Because of how he came in that approach. And so, would it not be the same today that he would do the same? He would. And what we have to understand is that every attempt of Satan against you, every attempt that Satan does against every person, is a repeat of this right here we're talking about. It is to get us to pull away from truth, to pull away from some truth. And I will tell you that if God knew that here at the end time, he would need to bring a final revelation to finish off and rapture the bride, don't you think Satan's going to fight against that truth when it comes? Absolutely. Absolutely. Will it be startling? No. It'd be subtle. Right? Exactly. Be subtle. And so every attempt of Satan when he works on each one of us is to do exactly this. And we need to not make the mistake in thinking, well, I'm not doing what Eve did. If you're compromising with the word, if Satan begins to move upon you and you begin to reason like she was and you begin to question God's word and you're, well, I'm, you know, I don't, eh, try to understand it. You don't have to understand it. You have to believe it, right? And God will reveal it to you. God wants you to not, he's not asking you just to believe, follow something just by carnal intellect. He's revealing. He revealed the things to you, but you've got to believe. And there's an element of a supernatural mystery there that you have to believe, but yet can't be fully explained. Or otherwise, it wouldn't be faith, right?
Right?
So we know that. We know that, but we don't want to make the mistake of believing that, well, the battle I'm fighting, I know I'm going through struggle, but this is not really what, Satan's not coming to me that way. He is.
Right.
He is. And this is a big mistake that we make. Well, you know, and you're sitting here, you're beginning to draw back and disbelieve some portion of God's word because you can't figure out, or somebody's influencing you, you're drawing back from that, and you're like, well, that, no, I'm not doing what happened in the garden. It is.
Right.
It is what happened in the garden. And as you pull back from that, that leads to one thing, confusion And if left gone, if God lets it go that way to Babylon and you don't know where you wind up, and it starts by one little something like, well, God doth know. He knows that you're over here and all of society, you know, everything's like that. And he understands that, you know, if you try to dress like the scripture said, you sisters, that he knows that, you know, right? So don't make the mistake of thinking that the battle you're in, and Satan is, he's trying to get you to doubt some portion of God's word. Every one of you. I might not know what it is, but he does.
Right.
And every one of you. And that's the way it is. So I said a while ago, how many words did it take to make the fall in the garden? And how many words of God's words? So I'll say to you, how many words would it take for you to fall from where God wants you in your walk now? How many words for you to doubt? What would it unleash? And we don't want to make the mistake of thinking that our battle is not that, because that's exactly what it is.
Right.
We're fighting the same battle. And the same way that Satan came to her with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life, and I ask you in your own thinking, think about what you're dealing with, and I'll ask you, does it not fit one of those categories? And it does. Amen? Because right. Satan trying to appeal to something and say, well, you know, and it's okay. It's not going to be. God knows, you know, that if you do this, you'll become like him. And it's okay.
Right.
That was the message he was saying to her. It's okay. The reason why God said that in his word is because he don't want you to have the full blessings of God, that are full blessings of life that you could have. He knows that you'll be like him. He's holding back from you. He don't want you to have, but you can have. You can be like God. Isn't that what Satan did, Lucifer did? I want to be like God.
Yep.
And he's trying to, well, if God's word's not good enough, well, let me tell you, I got one to make it even better. Remember he wanted to make a better kingdom?
Yep, right.
Right? That's what he's doing. Satan, when he comes to you and says God's word is not true in your life, he's trying to tell you there's a better way, an alternate way, a different way. Exactly right. What he's doing.
Right.
Amen. What's the answer? Embrace truth.
Right.
Right? Especially that which has been revealed to you.
Right.
Right? Amen. Because then there's a power that comes in that.
Yes.
By revelation, there's a power that comes in that will establish you. Once God has revealed, you know, the scripture said it. We've gone through this. Brother Brandon went through it over and over. And once God reveals something to you, the gates of hell cannot prevail against that truth.
Right?
Right? God, when you get revelation on his word, that is something that is lodged down in you, and Satan cannot right. take that from you. It is it's forever part of your being. It's been made in, it's been created down in there, and it's a part of you and a part of God all mixed together. Amen? And it can't be taken from you. Should never doubt those things from then on out. What God has said and spoke to you, when you know it's his word, yes. The Satan will come along, and that's what he wants to do, is make people doubt. Amen. Right. The same lie that the serpent told Eve, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and all except, or you understand. So every attempt, that's what Satan is trying to do. And we need to remember, he was a subtle beast. It's his job to make it seem harmless. It is. It's his job to make it seem like it's going to be okay if we doubt God's word. But I'll ask you, has God, up to this far, has he not proven his every word? That everybody who did pull away from it, there was consequences, but those who stayed with it, he's proven it all the way thus far, and he will the rest of the way. Amen. We just have to realize what our fight is, and that we're in the same situation. But thank God, a prophet has declared that this bride at the end time is ordained not to make the mistake that Eve did.
Right.
What does that translate into? She's not going to pull away from truth. The truth that God has vindicated to her in this day, she will not pull away from it. I'm going to tell you, If she does, no victory. Right?
Right.
No victory. Stay with truth. Amen. What I, like I was saying the other day, maybe in different words, but what portion of this Bible can we reject and say it's not true? You know, it was established by prophets. I think Wednesday night I said, you know, the scriptures with in the days of Samuel, the scripture said that the word of the Lord was scarce. There was no open vision. There hadn't been a prophet. There was no, and so God was going to establish Samuel as a prophet. The scripture said it was established that Samuel was a prophet. He let none of God's words fall to the ground. But just before, think about this. There was a, God is a God of contrast. So here was this period of time where, and you know, the people were in battles and they had things, and it would have been nice to have a prophet in the land. But they had gone through a period of time where they needed the word of the Lord, did not have the word of the Lord. It was scarce. And then, boom, God sent Samuel, and it was established. This is a prophet. After a long period of time of all kinds of religious worship and changes and all kinds of nonsense, but why? Because they didn't have the word of the Lord to hold them. And then in all that, and then God sent, all of a sudden, here's a prophet, and it's established, and all of Israel knew. Now we've got the word of the Lord. What are you going to do with it?
Right.
When there's been a long period of time and everybody's been doing whatever they want, but then it takes God to send a prophet to straighten things out, what are you going to do with that word when it comes? And I ask you, if that's the way it was then, what about now? Would it be the same way now? And the answer is yes. So, this Bible was established by prophets, and they were vindicated voices. And we've got to let God be God, we've got to let man be man, and we've got to know that God can come down, infallible man, and do things that only God can do, and hold us responsible for what we see and all that, and yet know that it's God, and yet it's a man. Right? That's his program. You've got to believe it's God working in your life, not you. And sometimes you think it's you and it's God. And sometimes we make a mistake and think it's God and it's us. And we've got to learn to know the difference.
Right?
Right? And I believe the predestinated will of God in our lives will bring that out so that we get to the place where we know when it's him and it's not. Even the prophets sometimes say, no, that was just me. Right?
Right.
That's just me. That's just me saying that. But you'll notice sometimes that even the things that the prophet said that he said was just in himself, that wasn't thus saith the Lord, and yet it was still right. Why? Because when you walk with God and you become interwoven with God and you become like him, and sometimes it gets to a place where it's you speaking, but yet it's God honoring you. Everybody, you understand?
Right.
And that's the way it was with the prophet. That's the way it is with us.
Right.
We have to grow into that place where we can do that. But when God sends a vindicated voice, he establishes that the word of the Lord is with the man. We got no shortage of people claiming, this, that, whatever. But you have to understand God's program. He establishes it. And once it's established as a prophetic voice, that the word of the Lord is with this one, not a minor prophet, but a major prophet, what are we going to do with it? God is not limited. He's not limited. Is he limited that he can't send another prophet? No, he's not limited. He can do what he wants, right? Except fail his word. But if he does send another prophet, would he establish it that the word of the Lord is with him? Of course he would. It cannot be just something done in a corner. This end time gospel, this gospel, you know, it was to the Jews there in Israel for a while, but when they rejected it, now it went to the whole world. So it's a universal message now. And so when God would come and would send a prophet to for the entire church, that ministry would have to go worldwide. It would have to reach the ends of the earth, because otherwise you'd have people here that would understand and they'd be blessed and they'd know how to have a rapture and their body change, but this group here wouldn't because they hadn't heard. You understand? God is not shabby. He knows exactly what he's doing. He established, he had a dead period of time there, and all of a sudden, boom, a ministry just like Christ standing among us. Oh, well, that was just a man. Was just a man, but the word of the Lord that was there was God. And God established that. What are we going to do with it? If there's any portion here, that if we say, well, we can't reject any of this. Well, if God brought another one that this said he would send, and then when it comes, it has the same vindication that we saw here, and exactly like it said, then, but we don't have to hear that. You understand? If it's God's program and it's his word and he's vindicated, you do have to hear it. You do. Why did God send it? So we had word to live by. He could have done it anyway. God could have said, every person that comes on this earth, they will be born with the revelation, all the revelation of Jesus Christ already in their heart. They'll know it from birth, or all of a sudden one day they'll just have it in their heart. No, he didn't choose it that way. He chose it that men preach the gospel and that men are established as having a ministry that would speak the word to God's people. And he put it in there for God's people to believe, to recognize, to act upon it, believe it, move with it. Man. So if God would send another one, we're still just as responsible as we would any other prophet. As long as we're not adding to or taking away from the word. And we're not. Amen. You know, the scripture said in Acts that I don't know if I've may have captured it on my phone so I could read it real quick. Yeah, I did. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing. Remember how it said, truly, Elias shall come and restore all things. Right? Jesus saying this. Truly, Elias shall come. That's future. So there's going to be a coming of the spirit of Elijah. It's going to be involved in the restoring, the restoring or restitution, restoring, yep. Right? And so here he's speaking of this time in the future of this times of refreshing that shall come from the Lord. In verse 20, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said, the fathers of the prophets shall the Lord raise up. And so he ties this to a prophet, that Jesus would come as a prophet. And so, but what I want to show you here is that at the times of the restitution, times, in the Bible, times is years. So this coming of Jesus, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution, and then he'll come, right? Well, him coming is not instant. It's years. It's a sequence of restitution, times of refreshing, times of God restoring, bringing back to his people that which was lost. You follow me? So it's all in conjunction with the coming of Elijah to bring that, and it's years, several years of restitution. I say that because remember in the book of Daniel where the king, Nebuchadnezzar, I believe it was, king of Babylon, and he, look at my kingdom. Have I not built this and done all this? And God said, because you have that attitude, because you're wise and prudent, I'll put it that way, I'll throw that in there, you're going to turn into a beast and you're going to go out. And it says seven times will pass over you. You're going to go out there in the field and you're going to eat grass like an ox. And the scripture said that his hair grew out like feathers, and his nails grew out like claws. So it wasn't just 7 days.
No.
7 years. Seven times. Remember in the book of Revelation, a time, times and time, and dividing of time, 2 plus 1.5, 3.5? 3.5 years. So times, let the Bible interpret the Bible, times, years of restitution.
Yeah.
Hey, where it's going to come time and God's going to move it into that cycle, and we're going to come into a sequence of God bringing restoration to his people. The ministry of Elijah is going to be present doing this, because Elijah was the one that restored Israel back to God. So he's going to use it again here, and he's going to use Elijah to help restore Israel back in the tribulation period, right? See what God's doing? So this spirit is going to bring a rest in its years. So when it says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with a voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and he's descending with those three. But that's years.
Right.
That's years of something going on, something happening in the midst of the church, something going on that is a restoration and process. And Elijah's presence, and the Lord is coming in this sequence. You see what I mean? The Word of God is very clear. But we must receive that truth. We must accept it. And when we start backing away from it, we start cutting ourselves off from the very blessings of why God sent these things in the first place. So we can be beneficiaries of it. So we must embrace truth. So why do we preach? Why me, Brother Daniel, any other minister, why do we preach? Well, first of all, it's a gift that God put in our lives. That we must stand for truth. It just eats me up. I want people to hear truth. Right? I didn't put it there. But that's just the way it is. We truth, because we know that's the very thing. And all we really want, all that we as ministers do, we just want you to fully embrace all truth. So, you know, subtle beast comes along and says, "Oh, you're talking about a man." No, I'm not. I'm telling you, God established this word. Right. You must hear it.
Yes.
It was vindicated.
Right.
I would be a false teacher, leader, whatever, to tell you who didn't. Right? But God has done another move of God in our day. And I'm just saying, it's truth. Just like this is truth. It's truth. And I just want you to see it. I want you to see it. I want you to embrace it. I want you to be beneficiaries of what this truth is.
Yeah.
And I see how Satan moving, trying through subtlety. And we can identify it with Scripture, exactly what he's doing. It's his same tactics. But his desire is the same. That's to cause you to fall from your steadfastness in the Word. Amen. We can come to this conclusion of one thing for sure, is that we know that his sheep know his voice.
Right.
Amen? We can have confidence in that, that his sheep know his voice, and really all you've got to do is expose the bride of Jesus Christ to the Word.
Right?
Right? You know how it works in the natural. And the guy comes along, and the girl looks at him, and that's it. That's the one, right? And so you just expose the bride to Christ, and she says, "That's it. It's all I need right there. That's what I want." Amen. And so I'll end with this right here in Hebrews. Very familiar. Well, I don't have it marked, I don't guess. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Did I put it in there? I'm sorry. Like I was saying, we preach to you because we want you to have truth.
Right.
And this is what the whole entire ministry, Brother Brandon, was about, what our ministry is about. The Scripture says to remember them that have a rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. What is the end of everything I stand here, or Brother Daniel stands here, or any other minister stands here, and tells you what's the end thing of what they're trying to get you to? It's that right there. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Right.
I remember Brother Lonnie saying years ago, I think he was talking to his dad, and he said that, oh, he's the same. And his dad, I forget exactly the conversation, but, you know, well, you don't see Jesus standing there now in flesh. Like, well, then he's not the same like that then, because he's not standing here in the body that he had 2,000 years ago. But what it is that Jesus Christ is the living Word, uh-huh, and every day.
Right.
He is the I am to you.
Right.
Right now. Yeah. The I am. Not the why I will be or I was. In your trial, he is the I am. Why? Because you, if it's accepted truth, you are free.
Right.
You do not have to be beat down. You know, people make fun of you and different things, you know, because you believe what you believe. You just walk in the integrity because you're not alone. He's with you. You're fellowshipping with him. They say, Lord, forgive them. They don't know. Because I can tell you, if they knew, they wouldn't be acting that way. Right? We know that. But somebody has to live that part. So there has to be trials that we go through in order for us to be victorious. Amen. So the end of our conversation is that he is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He makes all the world to us if we can just have him. That's what matters. Amen. Let's let the music come. Musicians come, please. Amen. You love him?
Amen.
Embracing truth. Let's bow our hearts to him just for a moment, and we'll let you go. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this service, Lord, much has been said, and Lord, it only lies within your presence, your abilities, Lord, to seal these things into their hearts, Lord. But I pray, God, as they go forth each day, they can recognize how their battle is, and how Satan is moving upon them and trying to get them to compromise. Lord, and may you be there present with them as they embrace your truth. Lord, may you give them revelation, give them strength to stand there, Lord, and be victorious as overcomers. We love you, Lord. We believe every one of them, Lord, is yours. And they come, Lord, as you call them, and they've come this far. And so we pray, God, that you would strengthen them with a mighty move of your presence in their life, Lord. We love you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh,
just worship the Lord for just a moment as you've heard His word. Give praise to Him. Amen. Water the word with worship and praise. I like this song because I find myself many times like this. Go out of here praising God.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Ever praise.